Well, thank you, worship team, and good morning again, everybody. Glad to be here with you today. I am not me today. I'm Pastor Dustin. He's supposed to be preaching today. 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I got a phone call from Pastor Dustin's phone, and I heard words I often hear, but in a voice I'm not used to hearing, and it said, "Hey, big guy, how's it going?" I said, "Better than it sounds like it's going with you." And he has been knocked out by this flu that's going around. And he said, "I'm not sure I'll be able to preach. I won't know till tomorrow whether I have a voice." And I said, "Well, if I've got to plan something anyway, you might as well let me plan it. And then you just take a rest and get better." So I'm here today. So that's, I say that for the sympathy points, okay? So you feel sorry for me. He'll take, you know, whatever I give you, and you say, "Hey, for last minute, hey, we'll take it." So great job, right, Larry? Larry's going to be my cheerleader. And then I was going to go for a long walk yesterday afternoon around Lake Telford, or Telford Lake. And if you haven't done that loop around there, you should do it sometime. It's a long way around there, though. So I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do the walk. I should just go home and or stay home and work on the sermon. I said, no, I'm going to go for the walk. And I misjudged two things, the timing and the temperature. And it was a little cooler than I thought. I'd been out the day before and done half the lake, and it was much warmer the day before. So I didn't dress warm enough, and I didn't plan it right. I hit the south end, or the east side of the lake, just about time for the sun to be really setting, or beginning to set. So I really had to hoof it on that last side to get back before it got dark. But I made it. But I knew that if I went out and just spent some time with the Lord, that hopefully he would give me something to share with you folks today, and I believe he did. Then I came home, sat down in front of my computer, and some of you know I have this left eye that's been bugging me for about 4 years, and I could not focus on anything last night. And then all of a sudden I realized it was in my right eye as well, and this is for extra sympathy points here. And after about 30 minutes of fighting my eyes, I realized somehow my glasses both had a scratch right in the dead center, right in front of my pupil. I don't know what happened, but both perfect same angle. I don't know what I put them on, but all of a sudden they were just bad. So I went searching for my old glasses, which are not near as good as my new glasses. And these are the ones I wear out in the garage when I'm working, and they just were full of gunk. So I had to clean those off. And so I can't see, and I didn't have a lot of preparation time. So please forgive me if some of this is heresy or really stinks. It's not heresy, I don't believe. So, but it is that time of year, and Pastor Dustin had this beautiful sermon plan before he left for holidays on paradox of past and future. Now, I'm not going to go there because that was his message, and we'll either have him do it next week or we'll have him do it next year for us on New Year's. But it fit our theme, and I can't say that I have that. I just wanted to share with you some thoughts around this idea of coming into a new year. How many? Raise your hand. How many of you, actually, I ask this every year, but how many of you set New Year's resolutions of some sort? if you're statistically correct here, 38% of you should raise your hands, because 38% of people set New Year's resolutions. I am not one of those people. I don't set resolutions, although I do enjoy taking the time during the season to recalibrate and regroup and reorganize and just to, as a term I've used a lot lately, just take a deep breath. And I think that as much as anything, it's not that we're starting a new year, it's just during the holidays we allow ourselves the time to slow down, to stop, and to think. And I think it's a worthy thing to stop and to think about what the Lord has done in and through us and what he's about to do. Now, if you're going to set a New Year's resolution, these are the top 10 things that people do set them for. So if you're thinking, maybe this is the year I should start, here's what they are. What do you think number one is? What? Exercise. Exercise more, because we've just eaten a whole lot, right? So we've got to exercise. Second one is lose weight. We've got to exercise to lose the weight that we just put on. Three is get organized, to clean up the garbage on your desk or in your home, in your kitchen, wherever you spend a lot of your time, just to clean that up. Number four was kind of a surprise to me. Learn a new skill or hobby. Anybody here want to learn something new this year? I like to learn something new. Ruth Berg, many of you knew Ron and Ruth Berg. He was our regional minister for a long time. Man, I first worked under in Alberta. Her father, in his mid to late 90s, every year would take on a challenge to keep his mind sharp. One year, it was to learn the computer and to learn how to email his grandkids and great-grandkids. Another year, he wrote a book on the history of the family. I just found out Don DeLancey told me today that today is the 100th birthday of Bill Bender, Warren Bender's dad. And he's still sharp as a tack, and I bet you he's learned something new every year to keep that mind going. So learn something new. Number five, live life to the fullest. Now that's kind of a tough, I don't know how you just choose to do that, but live life to the fullest. Number six, save more money, spend less money. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, spend more time with family and friends. Number nine is travel more. And number 10 is read more. Now, I got news for you folks. How many people do not set resolutions because you always fail in keeping your resolutions, right? That's more hands go up. Here's the deal. Tuesday, January 14th is Orthodox New Year, so you can have a reboot. Saturday, January 25th is Chinese New Year, another reboot. So this year we're offering try before you buy, New Year's resolutions, right? So you can try it out between the 1st and the 14th, and if you didn't get it right, you can reestablish some new goals for your life. And then you got to the 25th. After that, you're on your own. You got to do it on your own. We just can't do it for you. But today I just want us to stop and to think about what the year ahead holds for us. We're not going to set any resolutions here as a church, but we're going to think about this chance to recalibrate and to rethink about things. Some of you are very glad that 2019 is over. Some of you have had tough years. And I know some of you. I know some of you have been in my office and just said, listen, I'll be glad when this year's over. Let's get a new, fresh start. Some of you have had really good 2019s. You're saying, you know, I hope 2020 is as good as 2019 was. And as we come to this personally and corporately, we can truly feel both ways at times. I, in my walk yesterday, thought about 2019 and the life of Leduc Fellowship Church. And as I thought back, there's a lot of things that happened in this last calendar year that I thought, man, that had to be more than a year ago. It happened to be long more than a year ago. And then when I sat and really looked at it, I went, no, that's all been in the last year. And there's been some great things and there have been some challenging things. Some of the challenges have been our finances, and it's been tight. Since we added on to the building and took on a new mortgage, we knew those first couple years of that full mortgage would be like a young couple buying their first house. Well, it's not our first home, but it's our first big home. And it's been tough, but we've made it, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We're doing better all the time. Penny is not sweating quite as much in the office as she does the finances and pays the bills. But it's been fun to watch her even grow in that faith, just to say, just when I don't think we can pay the bills, money comes in and we're able to pay the bills. And now she's thankful that we have a little breathing room, that we can just take a deep breath and not have to worry week to week. We've seen a lot of our ministries grow. Our youth is growing. Our children's ministry is growing, and many of you bringing kids into this church has been helpful to that. But we're thankful for those 70, 80 kids back there every week. 30 to 40 youth on Wednesday nights here, just going crazy in this building. I encourage you not to come and join in on that, because most of you are too old and you couldn't handle it. It might kill you. Killed me. I was with them for a while last season, and it was a little bit tiring to me. But maybe if you just stand on the outside and watch the energy in the room, it's pretty amazing. But that growth has brought some issues. Hannah is off today because she's doing her Calc family Christmas over in St. Albert, and she's been just going crazy over yesterday and today trying to manage all the sick workers in the children's ministry department. We only have half of it running this week. It takes a lot of leaders back there to make all that happen. Any given week, we have between kids and leaders 100 or more people back there. It's pretty amazing. Youth ministry, Rudy's been shuffling those leaders and making sure every small group has the right amount of leaders, and we're thankful for that team we have, but with growth comes issues and challenges. Assimilating new people. I feel like I've dropped the ball on this. I just feel like I can't keep up with new people like I used to. And I've got to learn to not do it the same way I've always done it. I love all who've been coming and being a part of us, but I miss the day when I could know who everybody is that's new in a Sunday, and I could have an opportunity to sit with each of those families and get to know a little bit of their story. Over this last year, I've not been able to do that, and I need to find new ways to do that, but I know I don't do it alone. We're still finding our new rhythm in the space. We're trying to figure it all out. How do we do rental groups? How do we get this thing used by more people? Over the season of our building project, we've lost some steam in some areas, and we need to rebuild that steam. Some of our clusters, I'm the worst offender of being a cluster leader. I stink at it lately. Others have done much better, but we've lost that steam, and we need to rebuild that. So as leaders, we understand that we're not always firing on all cylinders, but we're trying our best. There's things in the background you'll never know about that our leaders are dealing with all the time. And when I thought back to this year, this 12-month period before us, I realized there's a lot of things our elders dealt with that you will never know about, nor do you need to know about. But please understand that our leadership has been leading strongly. There's some great things happening as we care for one another. So I talk about our concerns of as staff and leaders trying to keep up with the needs around this place. I'm very thankful that more and more is being done by the congregation, and more is just happening naturally. That you guys are latching on to one another and you're caring for one another. That's the way it has to be as we continue to grow. We can give leadership and, you know, we can pray over these things. But I'm thankful for so many who have stepped up and stepped in and stepped through, have come alongside people. It's an amazing thing when you go to an event in your church and you don't know half the people in there. Go to youth, I don't know the people. Go to young adults, I don't know the people. Go to children, I don't know the children. They all look the same to me back there. Just a bunch of them about this tall, a lot of energy. Go to our seniors' luncheon, I don't know half the people. I love the fact that somebody does, and somebody's caring for them, somebody's inviting them, and somebody's walking with them. So we do this together because we know what God is doing. Think about the metaphors of your life, and think about the things that God has laid out before you. I like to think in terms of metaphor. I was a lit major, and I like just kind of word pictures. And for me, God has given me the metaphor of a train in my life for the last number of years. And this happened about 19 years ago after we had moved to Alberta. I was in Elburn, Illinois, at some meetings of Sun Life Ministries back there. And I was taking a walk, and I was just really frustrated because I'd been asked to lead something by a bunch of people who were very strong leaders. And they were just challenging me left, right, and center, and I just did not feel qualified to do it. I may have shared the story. I'm not sure if I ever have, but I was walking down Main Street, Elburn, Illinois, this little beautiful little Midwest town, and I was just walking deep in thought, and just at the last moment, I just stopped and put my head up, and a train comes whipping by the train tracks. I just wasn't even paying attention to the fact that the train was coming, that I was walking. I wasn't quite that close to getting hit, but pretty darn close. And God spoke to me in that moment and used that train in a reoccurring theme in my life to say, you know, kind of, this is kind of what I want from you. I want you on that train track, just continuing on, and